following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. It is the first weekend in June, and it's great weekend, finally. I mean, last weekend for Memorial Day was absolutely horrible, but it is a great weekend ahead of us and lots of things going on, especially it's wedding season. Because think about it, last year, most of those weddings had to be canceled. In fact, someone from our office, Christian Karcher, who is our certified financial planner here at the office, his wedding was canceled, but not this weekend. This weekend, as you listen to this radio show this morning, Christian is about, he will already have been married because it's Sunday morning. It will be Saturday afternoon. Christian will be married. So, Christian, thanks for joining us today. We're, of course, pre-recording this so Christian can go to his wedding. So
that is true, yes. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, so
thanks for having me.
So, welcome. And are you excited?
Yes, I am very excited.
So, we're recording this on Tuesday, June 1st. Christian will be married in just a few days. And is life about to change?
For me, not very much. But I should have a very nice time seeing all my family, getting everyone in one place, and then having a nice vacation in Barbados with my new wife, Jessica.
Wow, Barbados. Any plans for Barbados?
Sitting on the beach and relaxing.
That's all that it's supposed to be about. All these people that plan to go hiking and do all this touring and stuff on a honeymoon. No, you're supposed to just hang out and relax and enjoy each other's company, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's good. So I thought we would do a little bit of financial planning tips for newlyweds. Since Christian's been with us, how many years, Christian?
4 years now.
4 years. And, you know, you've got some advice, I'm sure, because you've gone through this process. You're beginning to think about getting ready for a wedding, becoming newlyweds, and actually your wedding got delayed for a year.
Right. So we kind of started this whole process early in 2020 of figuring out how we were going to combine our finances, how we were going to address bills and expenses, and then everything got put off a year. So we've got a little bit of a runway here where we've been doing it for the last year.
So you actually, you're living with someone before you get married?
Yes, I am.
he laughs. I mean, I don't know. When I was getting married, the thought of somebody living with somebody before getting married was like taboo. I mean, Laura and I moved in the day after our honeymoon. We moved into an apartment together. My kids joke with me. They say, "Dad, come on, you lived with mom beforehand, right?" I go, "No, I didn't." They said, "Well, how do you know if you're even going to like living with her?" So I guess you're used to Jessica now, right? Or she's used to you, I should say.
Yeah, I think that's probably more likely.
And you're used to the cats.
And we are used to the cats, yes.
So, we're going to go through a few points here about financial planning for newlyweds. We're going to go through some points here. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, Christian, I mean, why don't you tell your story a little bit? You were supposed to have a wedding last year.
This is correct.
And
yes.
So what were some of the things that you were planning on, things that changed? You learned how to adapt for something new. And how is it different this time around?
I don't know how much different it is, but we had the whole wedding essentially planned in by April-ish. We just had all the last minute things to do. And then it ended up getting delayed. So we made the decision, I think, in May of last year that our June 13th was our original wedding date, which I just got an alert from 1-800-Flowers. I got an email that said, hey, your anniversary's coming up. And I said, no, it's not. But we had it all planned pretty much, and we just had kind of the last minute stuff, which we then pushed to this year. And kind of procrastinated, and now we've been doing kind of a full sprint towards the end. I think we've just taken a lot more laid-back approach to it after missing the first date. We said, you know what? We're just happy that we're able to get everyone together. There was a huge time throughout all of last year where we didn't know if we were going to be able to have a full wedding, if it would just be just family, if we would all be in masks, if there would be even a vaccine out. I mean, you just think back to the beginning of the end of last year, that's when the vaccine news really came out. We didn't know what was going to happen for most of this wedding. So we saved a lot of stuff to be kind of decided last minute, and that's what we've been doing. Just finishing up the last touches, and Saturday, here we come.
So I'm looking forward to it, too, because, I mean, we're going to the wedding, so we're looking forward to being part participants and involved in the wedding. It's going to be my first time, I think, being at an event where there's a lot of people with no masks.
That is very true.
I mean, for all of us, I think, right?
Right. And they said, so we were talking to the venue the other day, and they were going over, and they said, one alert, we have, as we finally opened back up and are having big parties again, we have never seen drinking bills as high as we saw the last few months. And we said, that is well noted. So people are, and I mean, if you've been paying any attention to all the NBA games going on, you've got a fan at every event doing something
crazy
wild.
Stuff. They're
so
insane.
People are excited to get out. Let's hope to keep it a tame excited. But it's everyone's very excited.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Marion dancing on a table somewhere. And
oh, please don't.
So we should have a great time. But you know, seriously, I mean, there are weddings coming up. I've got three weddings now scheduled for the month for this summer. I can't remember the last time I went to a wedding, and now we're going to three over this summer. So people are gathering, as you can well see, I mean, this past weekend, Memorial Day weekend, where the governor dropped a lot of the restrictions, we're phasing back into this experience. People are somewhat comfortable, some are not. It was interesting to walk into restaurants this weekend where some of the staff is wearing masks, some of the staff isn't. What did you see in Boston?
Well, we're around Boston, and people are starting to wear no mask, which is a big surprise. Even on the streets throughout all of this, even if you were outside, most people were wearing masks just because of how close you are to people walking around. What I thought was really interesting was this last weekend, we usually go out to Natick to go grocery shopping out at the Natick Wegmans.
Mm-hmm.
Not paid advertising, but we love that Wegmans.
Wegmans is great.
And that one particularly usually isn't too busy because no one wants to actually go to that mall to go grocery shopping. There's too many stores there, whatever. So we kind of walk through the mall and look around, and each store has their own policy, and people are generally just trying to stay away from each other, but there's a lot less masks on. I think it's going to take some getting used to. Even just seeing people's faces is a little bit jarring at times.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're not exactly what I thought you were going to look like when you dropped that mask, right? No, but anyways, it's been very interesting. I mean, it's going to be a transitional period, I think, for the next couple months probably as we get closer, as we get further and further into the summer. The warm weather certainly helps because those masks kept us warm this winter.
That's right. I'm still wearing the masks in the winter. I park on the street. I walk out to my car when it's 10 degrees out. I'm keeping want a mask on for that.
Absolutely.
Nice and warm.
So with wedding season coming about and Christian getting married this weekend, we thought we'd ask him some questions and perhaps provide some advice and some thinking for all of you as you think about merging finances, life, no longer as a single individual, married together. In fact, a 2017 survey found that of 3,010 participants, 68% of spouses said they would rather tell their spouse how much they weigh rather than how much they have in their savings account. What do you think of that?
That seems like a very high number.
And
particularly with how little people want to tell people how much they weigh.
I know. I mean, it seems like weight is the taboo number. But I guess as you're approaching a wedding, I mean, every woman is trying to get to the weight that fits them into their dress, right?
That's right, yes.
And so, I mean, I know you're trying really hard to fit into your suit, right?
Well, I've been we bought a Peloton, and so I've been riding that a lot.
Yeah, you hit your century ride.
I did, but the problem is I got fitted for my suit a few months back, so I have to make sure that I'm eating enough to keep the same size, because I don't want it to be too big.
No, you don't want it to be baggy. Yeah, that's for sure.
I might be the only person out here trying to maintain or gain weight.
All right, so oftentimes, you know, when couples are getting together and they're thinking about life in getting married, everybody has their own personal family financial history, you know, of how mom and dad brought us up with money. What are some of the conversations that you and Jessica might have had about, or maybe some advice that you can offer of different, or some things that you learned that maybe she saw money differently than the way you see money?
Right. So, I mean, everyone has a different, they were raised differently on right. how you talk about money. If you talk about money in the home, how your parents handled big purchases. So all of that. And I think that that's really good to talk about and just explain, if you can, if your parents have even explained it to you growing up, how your family handled money when you're talking to your spouse. Because a lot of times you actually find nice little tidbits that say like, oh, that works really well. Like one of the things that Jessica has brought into our relationship was her parents set a limit and said anything under this amount on an item, you can go and buy the item. It's fine. You don't have to ask me about it. But if the value of whatever you're buying is over $100, over $200, whatever you decide to set that limit at, well, maybe we should have a conversation first. And I thought that was a great thing. Jessica's not such a big fan of that one. But
she likes to shop a lot more than you do.
That is right.
But she does get her TJ Maxx discount, though.
But she gets her TJ Maxx discount. So I think that's a really nice thing that we picked up from her family. But also figuring out, you know, do you all put it into one joint account? Do you have your own accounts? All of that. It's kind of an interesting mix that you hear from all different people. And having that family history and knowing what your family has done in the past can kind of help get you a sense as to what your spouse will be comfortable with, and is there a middle ground? Maybe that middle ground is what's perfect for the two of you.
Yeah, I find it interesting when we talk to couples quite a bit about the merging of finances, and a couple things that we learned is one of the important questions is ask each other, how did your family help you or did they pay for your college education? Mm-hmm. And everybody's story is different because you're bringing two different stories to the picture. And not that you're ready to have children yet, but as you begin to think about that, how do you choose to say, this is the way we want to do it for our kids? Have you ever even thought about that?
Yeah, we've had a few conversations. My Jessica is very much of the, we should pay for all of a kid's college. I think I tone it back a little bit. I said in-state tuition costs and all in-state costs. If they want to go somewhere that's out of state or a private college, maybe they can pick up a part of the difference. We'll kind of see when we get there. I also have an open offer to any of my future children that they get a full ride to Wisconsin. So that's just fully open.
They get that. That's your alma mater, right?
That's right. They would absolutely get full football tickets, student tickets, whatever they want. If they go to Wisconsin, they can have it.
Because there's probably benefit for you too, right? If they go to Wisconsin?
Well, there's no benefit to me other than having someone to cheer for Wisconsin sports with.
That's right. But you get to go to the games,
too. It's well worth it. Yes.
Absolutely. And Jessica's from Wisconsin, too, right?
That is correct. We both went there. Yeah.
So, but the other thing that I noticed that couples oftentimes have to discuss when they're coming together is debts. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes people have debts, whether it's student loan debts, credit card debts, automobile debts, whatever. And how important do you think it is that couples share that information with one another before they're actually married?
Oh, I think it's incredibly important. And I think it's important to let them know what kind of debts they are. Saying, I have $50,000 of debt. Well, your spouse might think, oh, they've got $50,000 of student loan debt. That's reasonable. They went to school. We're going to pay off those loans over 10 years, whatever the, or maybe a little bit different if they've got an income-based repayment. But if those $50,000 are in credit card debts and are accumulating 17% interest, and you continue to spend more than you make, and you continue mm-hmm. to increase that, that's a whole other story. So I think it's really important to be on touch with one another about not just how much debt you have, but what those debts are, and what is your plan to pay it off. And does the other spouse factor into helping pay it off?
That's right. I mean, is the other spouse going to help pay off that money? I know that when I got married, and Laura and I will be married 29 years this September, one of the things that I brought to the table that Laura did not bring is I brought debt. Laura had no debt. I had some student loans at the time, but I also had a $5,000 loan to my father to pay for the engagement ring. And so Laura's big joke was, I want you to pay that off because I don't want to be engaged to your father. Because it was my doing, you know, I got to pay off the loan before I could, you know, before I could give any money, before Laura could say, okay, you paid for this ring. So we had to share all of that stuff up front. And so there's lots of things that you learn in this process. And there's lots of things to consider when couples come together. The tips for newlyweds are very, very important. It's so important to have that open and honest conversation. We're sitting here with Christian Karcher today, who's a certified financial planner in our office. He is getting married this weekend. And actually, by the time you hear this, he will already have been married, right? The nuptials will have been exchanged.
God willing, yes.
Yeah, yes. Hopefully she shows up and you show up, right?
Yep, that's the plan. All right. The priest. The priest gets there as well.
That too. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, we got financial planning tips for newlyweds. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent. And we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall. And just above Daniela's Restaurante. Hope you're having a wonderful day today. It's beautiful weather this weekend, this first weekend in June. Hope you're getting to enjoy the pool. Hope you're enjoying the outside. Hope you're just taking advantage, if you've been vaccinated, walking around without a mask out there. But it is also wedding season. And so I'm joined in studio today with Christian Karcher, a certified financial planner at our office here in Peabody. And Christian is getting married this weekend. And so, yes, we are doing a pre-recorded show so that we can all enjoy the wedding with Christian. And so congratulations on getting married, Christian.
Thank you very much.
And by the time people are listening to this, you should have said I do, right?
I don't know if you actually say the physical I do.
You don't do that anymore, huh?
I don't know. There's a whole...
Who knows?
I'll remember it by the time that the wedding comes around.
I'm sure there's a proper politically correct response that you're supposed to give these days, right?
Yeah, I think I do works, but...
Well, welcome. Congratulations on getting married.
Thank you.
And we thought, you know, with Christian being young and planning to get married, there are so many other couples that unfortunately had to have their weddings deferred from last year to this year, that there's this onslaught of wedding activity that's going to be going on this summer. And when it comes to merging your lives together, so too does merging your finances. And we thought maybe Christian could offer some perspectives, some thoughts, some advice to our listeners. And one of the big questions that we get asked all the time from people is, do we set up a joint account or do we keep our accounts separate? Now, I'm going to ask this question of you in two ways. There's the asking the question before you get married, and then there's the question, do you merge them after you get married? Do you have an opinion either way on those?
I think it kind of depends on your situation.
You mean it depends answer?
It depends answer, but I'll give you a little bit more than that. So before Jessica and I got married, because we were not about to rent two different places in Boston, it's already expensive enough to rent a single place in Boston, we are living together, and so we have joint expenses. And for that reason, we actually, the first year or so that we were living together, I would actually write her a check. Look at that. That was like the only time I've written a check in the past.
Right. Now you Venmo everything.
10 years,
right?
Yes. We actually Venmo our rent. It's funny. So I would write her a check for the difference. But we eventually, as we were preparing to get married, we said, this is silly. Let's start to figure out how we're going to combine our accounts. And so we have actually been combining them prior to us getting married. But I think in certain situations it makes sense, especially if you are moving in after getting married, to wait until then to combine your accounts. It particularly makes sense because there's always the after wedding having to change, potentially change someone's name on all of the statements, all the everything. Maybe it's worth waiting until all those name changes have gone through before you start transferring accounts and combining things as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a big decision to make. But to your point, though, you've known Jessica for a little while, haven't you?
10 and a half years. We've known each other longer. We've been dating for 10 and a half years.
So 10 and a half years takes you back to what grade?
We were juniors in high school.
All right. So it's not like you met 4 months ago and decided to get engaged. And
that is right.
So your families all know each other.
Yes. Yep.
The families get along?
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's good. I didn't know what the answer was going to be to that question, so I was hoping that it was a safe question to ask. So when you think about this, so now you've got your rent that you're both paying. So now that you're married, when you think to start combining everything, are you writing a check anymore, or is it just everything, are your both paychecks going into the joint account? How do you...
So both of our paychecks go into a joint account, mm-hmm. and then we have our own personal accounts, which are for our kind of fun money, things we want to buy for ourselves, and we have certain amounts going off to each of those depending on mm-hmm. how much we're going to spend, but all the money in the joint account, some money goes into a savings account, some money goes into an even longer term savings account, some money goes into our little personal expenses, and then everything else comes out of that joint account. That's our rent, all of our utility bills, if we go out to eat together, stuff like that. But otherwise, we've got our little personal money off to the side, which we can use to buy, you know, fun clothing items, presents for one another when mm-hmm. birthdays come around, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I know a lot of people like to do that. They try to keep a separate account so that the spouse doesn't know what the other person's buying. And it's funny, in my house, Laura now, if she wants to buy me something, she calls one of her friends and asks them to order it on Amazon and have it shipped to their house on Amazon, and then she has a separate account, but her account is also visible through our online account so that she doesn't see what she's buying. She then Venmos or sends money to her friend to pay for the account. It's crazy, I mean, how you can do this.
But. Well, yeah, and Amazon's always the one that gets me, because I'll order something for Jessica, not realizing how much of a hawk she is on the Amazon wish list.
And she'll know you bought something, right?
And she
right?
sees that it's been removed from her wish list, and she's like, well, what's coming in the mail? And then she also gets the conference, your package is arriving today.
Right.
So, it's kind of hard to hide presents from one another, but...
Especially with Amazon. I mean, you go to recent searches, and you go... Oh, look at all the things that Christian was looking at. I wonder who he was thinking about buying that for.
Well, yeah, and I mean...
I don't think you needed new perfume or something, right?
Right. I mean, I even get ads for things that Jessica has been looking for on my computer at work. Mm-hmm. I'll be on work checking, seeing how the market's doing today, and there's a Singer sewing machine up in the advertisement box, and so I text Jessica, are you looking at sewing machines? Yes, I am. Yes, okay. Well, so...
So as couples come together, and we're sitting here with Christian Karcher, a certified financial planner in our office. We're talking about financial planning tips for newlyweds today as Christian's getting married. Or actually, when you listen to this, Christian will already have been married. He'll be one day married by the time you listen to this. But as couples come together, oftentimes couples have different incomes. Some work more than others. Everyone's got a different lifestyle. How important is it to build a budget for yourselves when you come together? Because the spending habits of one individually might be different from spending collectively.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting one for us because I was never – I think everyone comes at it from a completely different way. So I was never a budgeter growing up because mm-hmm. I didn't spend any money. I had my job in high school. The money would get deposited into my bank account, and then I would buy like a soda at a soda machine, and that's like all I ever spent.
At least you didn't call it pop.
Well,
you're from Wisconsin, you know.
Well, parts of Wisconsin, it's okay. Broken up. If you're in the Milwaukee area, it's soda. You start getting outside, it's pop.
Okay.
So I never really budgeted much at all, and even with like my personal money now, I don't really budget because I only buy like 3 or 4 things a month, if that. Jessica, however, is a very detailed budgeter. Even growing up when we were in high school together, she would save all of her receipts that she would when she went out and did something, and she would go home and talk to her mom about what had been spent so that they could organize. So she's a very organized, particular budgeter. And I am sure our finances would not work properly if it wasn't for her keeping a big Google sheet and being able to sort all of our expenses, and she kind of handles the day-to-day budgeting.
Is there any type of budgeting software like Acorn or QuickBooks or Quicken or, I mean, there's all these different things out there. Do you guys use any of them or do you recommend any?
So I don't use any of them, and I think my problem with it is there's always some issue with the transactions feeding into these softwares where it doesn't get categorized properly. You spend more time trying to configure it. What we have is Jessica has a Google Sheet, and Jessica is even more than I am, an absolute wizard with Excel spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. She makes pivot tables. She's got a little thing, and she can click a button, and it gives all of the expenses that were under a certain category. So she keeps track of it all on a Google Sheet. So it's essentially a big Excel spreadsheet.
Nice. So let me guess. Does Jessica pay all the bills in the house?
Yes. So you're
the guy that's working in the world of financial planning, and you're not paying the bills, right?
No, I'm the big. I like to say I'm the big picture. I look at our long term savings. I'll look at our 6 month trailing spending and say, okay, that's about how much we spend a month. And Jessica's in the nitty gritty, looking at every expense each month.
Yeah, for me, I mean, when we first got married, this was before cell phones and stuff. Laura and I would get married, and I used to write all the bills. I write all the checks. And so I remember we had a Discover card, and maybe it was a MasterCard. And one of the bills, the MasterCard might have been $800, and the Discover bill was, I don't know, for $200 or something. And I ended up writing the check to MasterCard and putting that in the Discover envelope and vice versa. And it took it. Both of those credit card companies took the checks. Even though the checks weren't made payable to them, they still took the money. And so I had this credit on one, and I was getting finance charges on another one. When Laura saw that we were paying finance charges on a credit card, which we would just never do, she said, forget it, I'm taking over writing the bills. So Laura took over the bills until online banking came around. And then I started setting up the online banking, and I do all the online banking now. I don't know that she even gets involved with. Well, she knows how to pay some bills. She knows how to Venmo, and she knows how to Zelle and do all of those other things. But each to their own.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, but creating that budget and knowing, like, you've always created, at least in your planning, you've always allocated a certain amount of money to savings, though, haven't you?
Absolutely. Yes.
So talk to us about that. But allocating, well, you're doing some short-term savings, some long-term savings.
Right, right. So, well, Jessica and I were looking, we wanted to build up our emergency fund. Our emergency fund got drained when we were, you know, originally booking our original honeymoon, mm-hmm. And various things like that. And we were still kind of paying off student loans and building up some cash in the bank. But we wanted to get that 6 months of savings in the short-term savings. And particularly over the last year, we've been able to do that because we haven't been spending anything. So we have what we call a short-term savings, and we say that is money we expect to spend this year. That is money we are putting aside for when we want to travel back to Wisconsin to see our families for the holidays. That's if we want to go on a trip up to Maine. That's if the pets have to go to an emergency vet visit, which has happened way more than we expected. All of that's coming out of the short-term savings. And we've been able to build that up. It's down a little bit because we just had to pay for our Barbados honeymoon, which we're very excited about. But So that's all money we expect to spend in a year. Then we've got our longer term savings also in a bank account where we put money aside. That's hopefully going to be a house down payment one day. But we'll see. And then, of course, we're also both saving into retirement accounts as well.
You're just so responsible. I wish every newlywed couple was as responsible as you and Jessica are. You guys are doing a super job. And all right, we've got to take a quick break. But we've got Christian with us, and he's going to offer some more thoughts and ideas on tips for newlyweds. Bunch of those coming up. But I do want to remind everybody before we head off to a break that we put out a weekly newsletter. It is called Planning Pointers. It lands in your inbox every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Put your name, your email address, and you will get signed up and registered to receive our free weekly newsletter, three pieces of financial advice in a language you can understand. And we'll be back with Christian Karcher and financial planning tips for newlyweds when we're back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Baby, 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 I'm coming home to your tender sweet love, and you're my one and only one.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Oh no, see you walking around like it's a funeral. Not so serious, girl, why those feet cold? We just getting started, don't you tiptoe, tiptoe. Waste time with the masterpiece, to waste time with the masterpiece. You should be rolling with me, you should be rolling with me. You're a real life fantasy, you're a real life fantasy. But you're moving so carefully, let's start living dangerously. Talk to me, baby. I'm rolling up on this sweet, sweet baby.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall, and just above Daniela's Ristorante at 41 Cross Street. Isn't it nice to start to see some of these restaurants really filling up, crowds starting to show up at ball games? I wish the Celtics were playing a little bit longer, but, you know, it is what it is. But the Bruins are in.
Was that a pre-game five prediction that was from Mark Friedman?
That's exactly what that was, because that is Christian Karcher, the voice of a certified financial planner here in our office, and the voice of somebody who is recently married. And I say recently married because we are actually taping this show on Tuesday of this week so that we can all join Christian at his wedding this weekend. And so, Christian, you are guessing, you were right. I was having a premonition that by the time the weekend comes around, the Celtics will be out of the playoffs. Would you agree?
I would expect that as well. But yeah. You never know. Jason Tatum could score another 50 points and they could be going to six games instead of five.
They could, but that could still be over because I think they're playing next on Friday after that, right? Aren't they playing Wednesday and Friday maybe?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
It might be Wednesday and Friday.
I haven't even looked that far because I didn't expect game six.
Yeah, I didn't either. So I'm going to guess that they're done. That's it. So, hey, we've got a couple exciting things. Yes, Christian's getting married this weekend, but also we have a new addition in our office. My son, Corey Friedman, is here working this summer. He's going to work as an intern. If you get Planning Pointers, which is our free weekly newsletter, you would have read about Corey in our newsletter this week. If you don't get our free weekly newsletter, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Put in your name and email address down at the bottom of any page, and you can be one of the 7,500 subscribers that joins our distribution list every Friday at 10:30. And just if you're wondering, we've had an onslaught of calls lately. I think all of a sudden people are beginning to realize how important financial planning is as opposed to just investing. And it's people are saying, you know, I had this broker, I had this advisor, I had this insurance agent that I worked with, but now it's time to get serious. And they want to start making sure that they're working with somebody that understands everything in their life and answers the questions about everything. Are you seeing this as well, Christian?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people who thought maybe, you know, I'm going to work until age 67, and they're now 63 or 64. And I think this pandemic has taken a lot out of people, and people have been working from home. And what you see with some people who are working from home is, man, wouldn't it be nice if I could not go back to my commute and I could retire right now? So I think there's a lot of people also reconsidering when they plan on retiring. Yeah. And that brings a whole nother list of questions as to if that's possible and who's going to help me get there.
Yeah, because I always find it interesting when people say, you know, Mark, I want to retire at age 65. And I'll say, okay, you know, just using that as a random number. I said, so what does retirement look like? And years ago, it meant when you retire at 65, that's it. You are done, finished, no more working, never earning a paycheck again. But more and more people that I talk about say 65 or 62 or 58 or whatever the year is, they say that's when I want to stop doing what I'm doing now. And then I want to do something that I really enjoy, and hopefully I won't need to make that much money. You know, I would have made enough money so that I could work doing what I really enjoy doing, supplement it with the money that I've accumulated, and carry me to Social Security years, or perhaps even longer. We're seeing that happen more and more regularly, and I think with our software that we have, we're able to showcase all of those what-ifs.
Yes, the semi-retirement tool has been heavily used lately, where people are saying, you know, I'm gonna semi-retire, I'm gonna leave my current place of work, and I'm gonna, you know, do some consulting on the side. I get to work from home every day, I get to make my own hours, and I might make half or a quarter of what I was making, but the hours will be great. I'll be able to spend time with my family, maybe my grandkids, and work from home.
Yeah, it's become a very successful tool for us to use the software, for us to have those conversations. And I will tell you, Christian is the expert in our office on doing all of the what-if scenarios that present themselves. He does them on the fly as we're sitting there, and it's really great to have us in the room. You know, I'll be in the room, Christian will be in the room, and people will throw out these what-ifs, and he's just whipping them up on the computer, showing them up on the screen. It's been a great opportunity for us. But, you know, like I said, Christian is getting married, or got married yesterday, but we are pre-recording, so it's Tuesday, but by the time you hear this, he will have been married. But we're providing some financial planning tips for newlyweds because you and Jessica have been at this for a while. I mean, you were thinking about getting married last year.
We were planning on it.
Planning on it. But the pandemic set in. And so, you know, you've been providing some great advice to some of our listeners. I know many of our clients will often ask, what kind of advice can you give to our kids that are newlyweds and just getting started? And they say, I'm sure you probably don't want to take them on as clients, but what kind of advice can you give them? And sometimes we do take them on as clients. Don't get me wrong. But I think there's a general set of pieces of advice that work for everybody. I mean, we talked earlier about making sure that as a couple, you talk about your family's history on what you learned about money, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Getting a sense as to what money means to your spouse, even if that's a really soft topic, it really can open up a lot of conversations about and help you understand why they might be anxious about money or concerned about money, or why they might want to spend a bunch of money, or why they might want to save every penny that they earn.
Right. You can learn why sometimes a spouse will come into a marriage and they have a lot of money that they've just accumulated in the bank account. And they have not invested the money, even though they've heard about people who invest or the fact that you can invest. But they're just really nervous. And a lot of it is because of stories that they've heard from their own family members.
Absolutely, yeah. I still remember in college, I was part of the Wealth Management Group, which was a club on campus. And we did a few outreach events where we would go and talk to people about the importance of financial planning to other students. And so one time we went into the humanities building and we did a little presentation for a capstone program in the history department. And it was kind of a shock to me, who had spent my entire college years studying financial planning and investing and understanding this world, having internships there, to talk to the people who were getting their history major, who had really their only exposure was, oh, my parents lost everything in 08-09 and have been in cash ever since, or the stock market is rigged. It just, these types of sentiments, hearing that was very jarring, and it really helped me understand people out there need help understanding kind of what is financial planning and why it is so important.
Yeah, and we really need to understand the history that we all come from. Each of our own families have our own stories. And I always find it fascinating how my story growing up as a kid and the way Laura's family grew up as a kid, financially it was totally different. And then you have to figure out, how do you merge what works for you guys? And it's tough at the beginning because everybody wants to have an opinion. Mm-hmm. But once you have that first child or the second child or whatever, not the fifth in my case, but you know, you begin to think about, once you buy a house, once you start having assets that are jointly yours, you have to figure out how are you going to work the dollars that make sense for your family? How are you going to set the tone? How are you going to set the standards? Have you ever given that any thought?
Yeah, I think we've already started doing that. I think it's in the same way when you're starting to invest, you just got to start a little bit at a time. With us, it's, okay, we're merging the bank accounts. We're talking about how much we're going to save for our short-term goals, for our long-term goals, and for retirement. And setting those numbers up and saying, okay, this is great. We've agreed upon this framework. We let it run for a year and we say, okay, did that make sense? Or maybe 6 months, and we say, okay, did that work out? And it's, okay, well, we're spending a little bit more than we thought we were. So how are we going to adjust it? Are we going to reduce how much we're putting into money for a potential down payment? Are we going to reduce how much we're saving for retirement? And we kind of sit there. It's the same thing we do with financial planning, where we have all these levers that we're moving around. It's the same thing for the personal finance part when you're budgeting and saving, is what makes the most sense and what levers can you pull to make it all work out and is comfortable for both spouses in the relationship.
Thanks. And so we're sitting here with Kristen Karcher, a certified financial planner in our office. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, and we're here to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And this week, you know, with weddings abounding throughout the entire summer, we thought it would be important to talk about some financial planning tips for newlyweds. But there is a large segment of people that are getting married where it's not the first time they've been married. It's a second marriage, or a third marriage, or a fifth marriage, who knows? How do you merge those finances? How do you manage money when you're part of a second or third marriage? Or, you know, maybe you're a widow, whatever, and you're now getting remarried. How do you handle that? Well, if you stick around, we've got some thoughts and advice for all of you. But for the time being, we've got to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel and we're gonna
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents. This is Christian Karcher. I'm here with Mark Friedman, your usual host, who has put me on the spot to introduce this next segment. We are with Friedman Financial. We are a financial planning office in the Peabody area, just across the parking lot from Macy's at the North Shore Mall, just above Daniela's Restaurante. And we do financial planning each and every day for our clients in a language they can understand.
Financial advice in a language you can understand.
That is true. So almost got it, Mark.
Christian, you're doing great. And we figured, you know, now that Christian is a married man, we figured we'd give him the opportunity to introduce his first show. So welcome back from your, well, you're not back from your honeymoon yet. You haven't even left for your honeymoon.
I am not yet burnt to a crisp.
No, that's right. No, because I'm trying to think. We're taping this show on Tuesday. You're getting married on Saturday, but you're, as a listener, you're listening to the show on Sunday. So you'll be back in the office soon.
Soon. But not too soon.
Enjoy your vacation. So one of the things that we were talking about was this idea of financial advice for newlyweds. And you came up with the idea that said, you know, Mark, as much as we talk, we want to give advice to newlyweds, brand new people, we see so many clients that come into this office where it's their second, third, and fourth marriage.
That's right. We do.
And that advice is a little bit different for newlyweds, isn't it?
Well, I think a lot of the advice that we already talked about applies. But there are a lot of other considerations, particularly as you're later on in life. And if you have assets and family members from a previous marriage, there's a lot of additional complexity that our clients face.
You're absolutely right. And it's not like merging money for the first time. Many people who come into second marriages aren't interested in merging their finances. They got to come up with something different, don't they?
Well, that's right. Well, because a lot of times, that first, not a lot of times, but quite frequently, that first marriage may have failed in part because of how spouses fought over or argued about money. About 50% of divorces is caused by issues with money. And so that can also have a lasting impact on how those people view money coming into a new relationship. Very frequently, you'll see separate bank accounts. But also, you've got the question of, okay, well, how are we taking care of our kids from a previous marriage? Or do we have alimony to pay? Child support, those types of things are all questions that come up in a second marriage.
Yeah, and the other thing that's important in a second marriage is beneficiary designations. You know, who do you name? Do you name your spouse? Do you name your children from the previous marriage? And a lot of things to consider there too, right?
Absolutely, and very frequently in these mixed family situations, you definitely want to go to an estate planning attorney, sit down with them, and just explain what you would like to happen. And very frequently, they'll have recommendations or suggestions on how other people in your situation have figured out things, whether that be to create a family trust, how to deal with if one spouse owns the house that you're living in, are you going to make that a joint asset? Are you going to allow the other spouse to live in it if the one spouse who owns the home passes before their new spouse? These are all questions that need to be addressed, and very frequently, it's important to sit down with an estate planning attorney and really clarify what you want to happen so that they can execute it.
Yeah, we see this happen. Mistakes happen all too often where spouses or where individuals have been neglectful to update their documentation after getting married. And sometimes the results of what happens, if God forbid they were to die, become disabled, incapacitated, whatever, some of those documents aren't brought up to date, and the people who you think you'd like to have care for you aren't necessarily the people that have to care for you based upon the documents. We've seen all sorts of things that can happen. What other pieces of advice, Christian, would you give to newly married couples who are on their second or third marriage? Oh, I'm stumping him because he wasn't ready for the second question there. Look,
well, my first thought was, and this is something that would happen before you get married, is do we want to get married right now? Because there are a lot of rules around the Social Security Administration.
Absolutely, you're right.
One, for most people, it is very important that you do actually get married, because if you have the lower Social Security amount and your spouse dies before you, you will get a bump up in how much you can collect from your Social Security up to how much they were collecting.
So let's use some real numbers here. Let's say, for instance, let's say you were cohabitating, you're not married.
Yes.
And you were saying, we've just been living together for 12 or 15 years, 18 years, it's just been great. We just didn't want to bother to get married. And one person is making $3,000, getting $3,000 from Social Security, and the other person is expected to get, I don't know, $1,200 from Social Security. That's what they're supposed to get, because if you were married, you'd get half, but because you're not, one's getting $3,000, one's getting $1,200. If you were married, what would happen if the spouse, if the higher earner were to die?
Well, if the higher earner were to die and you were married, the earner making $300 a month would get the $1,200 that their spouse was receiving from Social Security. That's a $900 difference right there, only because they were married. If they weren't married, she would keep collecting her $300. But the other thing you have to think about is, do you have Social Security benefits that you can claim as a ex-spouse or as a widow from a previous marriage? Well, if you get married before age, if you get remarried before age 60, you may lose all claim you have to a previous spouse's Social Security benefits, which could also be a negative consequence.
Yes, you got to look at all the considerations. I mean, jumping into a marriage is, you know, everybody thinks, you know, everything's, you know, rainbows and unicorns when you're standing there under the altar. But there are a lot of implications to getting married. And when there's another layer of complexity where it's a second marriage or a third marriage, it really complicates the issue. You need to make sure that you understand what is going on. And that is where we as a financial planner really help out here. We've been doing a lot of that work lately.
Right. And particularly those Social Security stories, they can save people thousands of dollars over their life. And especially with the estate planning questions, as just asking the question of who do you want to leave your money to? There are second marriages where the people are looking at each other like, we've never talked about this. Mm-hmm. And it might be a little bit of an uncomfortable situation, but it's really important, because if you have all of your money, say, going to your children right away when you pass, but your new spouse was expecting to receive enough money to help them continue to live or live in the home that you guys are living in together, that can get even more uncomfortable. And while you're not there for it, it's not a good situation.
Right. So imagine this. So you're a married couple. It's a second marriage for both of you. Each of you have a couple children. And you've been married for a while. And you decide, well, that if I die, I want all of my money to go to my spouse. Might make sense. I want my money to go to my spouse so she can support her lifestyle, live in the home, all that kind of stuff. And then the spouse dies. Who gets the money? Well, without proper planning, the spouse's kids could get all the money, and the husband or whomever, we're just using the husband and the wife here, the husband who died first, who gave all of his money to his spouse, just excluded his children from receiving any money ever again. And that can become contentious, really problematic, and oftentimes there's nothing you can do about it unless there are legal instruments in place.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, just as it's important for a second marriage to make sure that those legal instruments are in place, I'm going to back up just a bit. For newlyweds, what do you think about the thoughts of having estate planning documentation for just any newlywed Christian?
Well, I think it's important. You're finally getting to the point in your life where you're not listing your brother or your parents on a beneficiary. You know, when I first started my first job, I was like, who am I going to list as a beneficiary on my retirement account? I don't know who I'm going to put on my 401k. But you're finally starting to realize, okay, so I'm going to marry this person. Well, this is a great opportunity to say, you're already going to be doing a bunch of paperwork to figure out any name changes and to do the marriage certificate, all this. You're going to have all your documents together. Might as well make sure you check and update all of your beneficiaries. That's on your life insurance through your group life at work, any other life insurance you may own, your retirement accounts, any investment accounts, bank accounts, all of that. You want to make sure that that's in order. Additionally, you want to make sure you've got some basic estate planning documents in order. That's a healthcare proxy. That's who's going to make your health decisions for you if something were to happen. You want your power of attorney, who's going to make decisions for you if you're unable to make those decisions financially. And getting a will in order as well, in case there's anything out there. I've got a very fun coin collection. Who gets it if I die? The will would figure it out. It's actually not worth that much, so that's just a dumb example. But But who gets the stuff that doesn't have a beneficiary designation? Having a will in place answers all those questions and will free you up. And at the same time, maybe it's a time to start thinking about, okay, do I have proper life insurance? How are we going to combine our homeowners and auto insurance?
Right.
Will we get some good discounts from doing that? All those questions are great things to be thinking about after the wedding, yep, after the honeymoon. You get back and start cranking through some paperwork.
And that's what a good certified financial planner will help you with. It's not just about the investments, folks. It's about the big picture. And that's what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. That's going to do it for us this Sunday. We will be back again the next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. I hope you have a great day. We're going to flip it over to Scott Whitley with some great ideas on some fabulous restaurants that are around in the area. Scott, it's over to you. Everybody have a wonderful day. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.